With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
JF Stretford Paddock. This is the Paddock Podcast. Joining me are two absolute giants of the Manchester United fan base. Mr. Joe Smith.
How are you doing?
Fresh from his many media appearances, actually putting me in the shade.
Too hot, innit? Speaking of shade, I wish there was
a bit
of shade.
Why have you got like four layers on you?
Because I've only got one outfit.
Are we still going to do that thing where me and you can come dressed as each other?
Yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah, that's going to be so funny.
We can't wait.
It's going to be mint.
It's proper hilarious. Yeah. Stuff. Who else is here, Jay?
Just some example of the bants we have in here.
Edgy.
Oh, talking United fans, we've got Stephen Allison with us.
Morning.
Yeah, all right.
All right, you all
right? What have you been up to?
Had a proper family weekend.
What, family?
Yeah.
Whose family?
Yeah, some with a similar surname as me.
What are they like, your family? Have you got to know them?
I don't know.
Are you you're thinking of doing that soon, aren't you, Jay?
No, I did it in lockdown. It turns out they're all right.
Are they?
Yeah, some of them.
It's one of them where I've always just thought it's not worth the risk. Because if I don't like them, I can't get another one. So why find out? Do you know what I mean? Text them occasionally, all that.
Went out to a dairy place that makes its own ice cream from the cows it has.
Really?
Yeah. That's mint, that, isn't it?
Also sells steak. Which is less, it's all painted like nice and pink and like you can get ice cream.
Or medium rare is the actual Dulux colour chart called.
From the cows and all that lot. And then you're like, what's that in the fridge?
That is a hoof.
So they sell their own milk, they sell their own ice cream, and obviously they sell the carcasses of their dead animals.
Thank God
that's
for that.
A lovely thought.
Has there been any football or Manchester United?
Talking of carcasses of dead animals.
Yeah.
City's European adventure came to a crashing end, didn't it?
Aggressive.
Hey, I am aggressive.
Okay.
Joseph.
Nice t-shirt, Jay.
Thank you. I mean, I didn't want to draw attention to it. It's just something I just threw on, actually. Funny about all that talk of, you know, the trebling. Does the League Cup count as the trebling? It doesn't matter now, does it, eh?
Do you remember all that quadruple talk? Yeah. They've talked about that every year for about 7 years. They're basically Arsenal, but slightly better.
Right. Let me just throw some numbers at you, because we all like numbers. Pep Guardiola, I believe you have to say the greatest manager that's ever lived, trademarked. Like, that's something people put in as a moniker alongside his name.
Go on, then.
He spent £834 million, right? And the money's one thing, Jay, but it's more the fact that he got 25 first-team players on top of having De Bruyne, Sterling, Kompany, Yaya Toure, Aguero, David Silva, etc. To what was already a title-winning squad. £834 million, plus 25 first-team players. You can only play 11, last time I checked. As well as having the most expensive youth academy that the world has ever seen. He has achieved what Manuel Pellegrini did.
Mm. I mean, it's weird, isn't it, with Pep? What makes me laugh with all the City fans as well and some of these City pundits who, you know, are practically fanzine writers rather than journalists.
Hi, Brennan.
Yeah, not mentioning any names.
I will.
But is the sort of mental gymnastics they're doing not to just say, Pep fucked up. Mm. Pep got his tactics in Europe
wrong. You can say this.
Yet again. Because it's obvious he did, even to a layman like me.
Mm. He can't get out of his... Right, do I think he's a genius? I don't know about a genius. Do I think he's a good football coach? Always. he's got some things that all of us could learn about football. Obviously, part of the Cruyffian sort of lineage, if you like, in terms of how football should be played.
Just quickly dropping Cruyffian in, like we've all understood that. Right.
Really post-Cruyffian, well, if you want to get into
it. Would you say you founded the sort of the Houseonian sort of movement of YouTube stars?
Yeah, which is, I merged the Bielsian and Cruyffian lineage.
To the Houseonian, this is very much a Saturday League style manager.
It's like amateur nonsense version.
Yeah,
yeah. Very good. But Guardiolistas would say he is the quintessential post-Cruyffian.
Fantastic word.
That was some good wordage.
I like that wordage. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But whenever you mention Cruyffian, I just think of the 1991 European Cup winners' cup final.
Why wouldn't you? Anyway, he's clearly a very good coach. Clearly got some fantastic innovations. Resurrected the WM formation of the fucking Busby era, which I have got a lot of time for, despite him being a City manager. I think there's so much a lot of people could learn from him. But when it comes to these real crunch games, semi-finals especially for some reason, and that doesn't really get brought up that much, and clearly finals, he can't seemingly get out of his own way. Because that Manchester City team, if you just went, lads, you know what you're doing. Mm. I think you'd probably get a result out of that City team, but going, fuck it, no centre forward, fuck it, no defensive midfielders. It's almost like he felt the need to prove his genius by winning it in a mad way rather than just winning it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, instead of doing the thing that, you know, we know you can do, he wanted to do it in a way that we didn't think he could do it.
So rather than just winning it, we wanted him to go, how we won it.
Like, I know obviously Chelsea and Tottenham aren't the same team, and Chelsea are much better, and they've just got a history of beating City quite recently. So maybe he thought, I need to do something different to what we did in the league, the FA Cup when we lost to them. I can see that. But then you think, well, that doesn't explain why he did it against Lyon and why he did it against Monaco as well.
Look at who's not City out of the Champions League. I know a final's different, but Chelsea, Lyon, the Scousers, Spurs. Now, he's had the better 11 players at his disposal in all of those games. And you also, you know, this season I actually thought that, pardon the expression, but their name was on the trophy because of the run they had, where they played like Borussia Mönchengladbach.
But I checked, Jay, and it ain't fucking in.
It ain't. You're right. And it's never been on there. Dortmund without Sancho. PSG without Mbappe, who played one game, but he was a shadow of himself, and I don't think he played the other one. And then you get Chelsea, who are 19 points below you in the table, in the final.
Who are also in a bad run of form. Yeah. Who just, I think they only won one of their last three league matches.
Do you know what I mean? They were in all sorts of trouble, Chelsea. And
two weeks out, I was certain Chelsea were winning.
Was it Villa they had to beat? And they make sure the top four they couldn't.
And they lost.
The fact it went down to the last day.
Leicester in the FA Cup final.
Mayhem.
So this isn't Chelsea team on top four. But so you think this is all sort of the stars are aligning for him. And he still can't do it. He still can't get out of his way. And like, you know, when he got beat off Liverpool, you know, everyone, they were the favourite. Spurs, come on. Lyon.
Monaco,
yeah, that's what I mean. And it's like, for whatever reason,
has to overthink it. And I think that's the only word for it. I know it's quite reductionist, but it is the only thing I can think of is he overthinks this shit coming into these things.
You know, like with Leicester when he won the league, I think one thing that worked in Ranieri's favour was he didn't have the players to tinker.
Yeah.
So it was like, because he's Mr. Tinkerman, isn't it? And it was like, you've got 14 players that are a decent standard. You can't mess about with that because you haven't got the players to do it.
What did
you do
today, Gaffer? 4-4-2 on the counter-attack, try and get it to Jamie Vardy. Yeah. Okay.
So, that's what I mean.
And you three.
If he'd have had a budget, he probably would have messed it up.
Mahrez, Kante, Vardy, don't get injured and we'll win the league. Yeah. That was it. That was his tactics for the season. And you, in fairness to Pep, I think that's only like the second ever final he's lost. So it's not like he does this all the time. But he hasn't got to a Champions League final since 2011 until, you know, 2 days ago, 3 days ago. And then when he does get there, it follows a string of times when, like we've mentioned before, he's overthought it and changed things. Like, I know that they've kind of, it's unfair to say got by because they've won the league. That's not getting by. That's a very successful season. But by their standards in terms of points, it wasn't so good. They had a really, really bad start to the season. And they've done that without really having a main striker all year because Aguero's finished and he doesn't like Gabriel Jesus. But then not having a striker is something you have to kind of overcome, and they've been good at doing that. But then not having a defensive midfield as well, just playing seven number eights going forward, it just doesn't make any sense. Like one of the biggest foundations that City have worked on under Pep and even before that was Fernandinho or other doing the Fernandinho role, and sometimes both. Sometimes it's Fernandinho and Rodri in those big games. Because like the goal that they scored, it was a great run from Werner to take the man out of the way. But the space in the middle that he could pass through, where's your midfield?
We're trying to compete with both Chelsea and Manchester City in terms of everything like that. Let's look at the squad depth for a minute, right? Okay, so he's not having Fernandinho today. Right, cool. He's going to play Rodri. Rodri? Mint. Yeah, he's not going to play either of them. He's going to play... What about Gundogan? Like, he could have played a Trivotte, actually, which is three defensive midfielders.
Obviously.
So, yeah, they've got plenty of players. Well, it's just a bit...
On the flip side of that, a lot of people looking at the appointment of Tuchel, a lot of the Ollie out brigade looking at it as an example of almost a stick to beat Ollie with as a manager who came in, won the Champions League. I'm just saying, you know, that's the any win of any sort of magnitude is automatically used as a stick to beat Ollie Gunnar Solskjaer with. But it's a fair point just to have the conversation around.
That was my worry about Chelsea winning it.
Yeah.
Because it was absolutely stuck between a rock and a hard place with as a United fan, do you want to win this? Obviously, City have never won a European Cup.
Oh, it wasn't a difficult one for me.
No, I'm not saying it was difficult. I'm not saying it was difficult, but for me, it was stuck between a rock and a hard place because you don't want City to have ever won anything. Obviously, that makes more sense. League Cup double, we don't want that. But then Chelsea, there's obviously the downsides with that too. They're only one behind us now. They've won the same
amount of
Champions Leagues. They've won the same amount of Champions Leagues as us.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's it's an older competition than that. But also, they've got a new manager that replaced their Ole manager in Lampard. They were constantly tied at the hip like conjoined twins, Ollie and Lampard. They're the same person almost.
But you're right, the media did. The media did try and paint
it like
that.
Club legend, not particularly experienced in the Premier League, gets to manage two of the biggest clubs. Well, Ollie won because he outlasted Lampard. Well, now the proof for the people who want it to be the proof is we should get rid of Ollie because they got rid of Lampard and now look at them.
Yeah,
that's the problem with Chelsea winning it.
With that is... Chelsea are in the Real Madrid model of one new coach every 9 months, right? That's their game. That's what they like to do. One new coach. I think it's like 10 months on average. That's how long a manager lasts at both Chelsea and Real Madrid. Now, the reason that those clubs are successful is not because they keep appointing really, really good managers, although in some cases it is. The reason that those teams are successful is they've got banging players. Mm. You know, when Ancelotti came, look at the 11 he was playing. You know, they fell out with this manager. You bring this manager in. Oh, look, he wins a league. Sweet. Mm. Get rid of him. Bring another one in. Conte won. Is Conte a good manager? Yeah, they still sacked him. Like, they could have kept one manager and had the same level of success that they've had because the team has been that good. Chelsea outspent the whole of Europe last summer. Do you know who came second? Manchester City. Is it a coincidence that that's the Champions League final? Mm. Probably a little bit of a coincidence that it's the Champions League final, but these are the two squads with unbelievable depth. So, you know, we can't give Bruno a night off because he's the only person that can fulfill that role. Chelsea have got Mount. They have got Havertz, basically the same position. Mm-hmm. We can rest these guys and come the end
of
the final.
And they've got Ziyech as well if they need him.
They've also got Ziyech. You know, you've got... I think if you went just straight 11v11, United and Chelsea... I think they may be just about edge it on any given day, but it's very, very even.
Yeah.
The squad depth, though. The fact that they've got people like Kovacic that you can just wheel out. We don't have that.
No.
They've also got one of the best midfielders in the world.
Let's be honest.
Of the past 20 years.
One of the best defensive midfielders.
I mean, Mason Mount's brilliant. I think you're absolutely
one of the best defensive midfielders of all time.
Yeah,
if you put in like Makélélé in that list, you put in, you know, SCN, you put in, you know, Chelsea
players.
Look,
he's on us.
Kante, he's one of the greatest defensive midfielders ever.
There's no point in being silly about it. The guy's won the World Cup, the Champions League, the Premier League with Leicester, went to Chelsea and won it again. Yeah. He's gifted.
He's amazing.
He's the Cantona of that defensive midfield.
He is. And it's like, if you literally took him... Do you remember when he was linked with us? If you just took him out of their team and put him into ours, all of a sudden, we're challenging in a big way for the top honours because he's that good and he's exactly what we're missing.
If you'd put him in that City team Saturday night?
Yeah. All day long.
How mad's that?
Yeah,
I mean, he's just effortlessly brilliant at his job.
Well, I would say he does put a lot of effort in. He's maybe an effortful person.
Yeah,
he just
makes it look easy, doesn't
he? He makes it look easy, but he's putting a lot of fucking effort in.
And he's, for me, the sort of the most astounding attribute of his, he's a completely likeable Chelsea player.
Yeah.
I've never seen that before, I don't think.
No.
I'm a bit too young to remember Ray Wilkins. So as a player,
he's a United player.
Yeah, Wan Mata. Sorry, yeah, yeah. Wan Mata. But
Ray
even
Wilkins is an ex-United player, not a Chelsea.
Wan Mata, right? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Chelsea usually base their team around dickheads, don't they?
Yeah. Whether, but yeah, Kante is just that guy. Done it for France. Done it for Leicester. Done it for Chelsea.
Yeah.
And it just makes me sad that we haven't got someone not as good as that, but almost of that ilk.
Yeah.
Because we have to play two players in that role who aren't together as good as him.
Because they, you know, with Jorginho in there as well, obviously he
get
does
another one.
Yeah, he does the sort of Carrick role almost. Yeah. And then you've got Kante who just
it does feel a little bit like almost they, Carrick and Hargreaves ish.
They've got six midfielders of the Pogba Bruno level.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Not of the Bruno level.
No.
Oh, I think maybe not.
Of Bruno, kind of Bruno's not, like his numbers need Kante to be respected.
Kante's
yeah.
Bruno.
Oh yeah, yeah. But
I'm talking just like
six.
In terms of ability, not yeah. in terms of like
numbers.
Well, I mean, Kai Havertz when he came from Bundesliga, that was Bruno numbers.
Mm. Yeah.
Just the way this season's gone for him is not that. Mason Mount's numbers are fucking good numbers, you know. They're not quite Bruno, but they're not.
I think it's really weird with Mason Mount how he's so sort of almost just criticised and almost ridiculed, yeah. and it's like, oh, Mason Mount, but. The guy's mint.
Yeah. I think now people are coming around to
yeah, it's like, I don't get... And I think,
which is annoying to say.
As we like to do in this country. Yeah, yeah, that's the teams there. I just brought up the Champions League final.
So look at the bench. Kepa, £90 million goalkeeper.
Yeah.
You know, Caballero, whatever.
Yeah.
Alonso. Kurt Zouma.
Yeah.
Pulisic. Didn't they spend like a 60 frightening million. Amount of money on him?
Yeah.
Hudson-Odoi. Yeah. Ziyech. Kovacic. Giroud. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? That is
I mean,
depth.
Don't forget, Sammy Abraham. Didn't even get on the bench.
Yeah.
That's quality that, because I know he's not a world class, but he's a very good striker.
Yeah,
and for him not to even make your bench.
So, like,
look
you
at
take
City's bench. Go through
now.
City's bench first right. before oh we carry on.
Goodness. Yeah, go on. City's, go bench. City's bench. I mean, Zach Steffen, Scott Carson, all right. Nathan Ake, big sign in the summer. Laporte, who was the second coming of, you know, Yap Stam
supposedly
not so long ago.
The best centre back in the league last season.
Mendy, a £60 million left back. Cancelo,
actually,
£55
million. That as a defence is a £200 million defence. Cancelo, Mendy, Laporte, Ake on the bench.
Eric Garcia, Rodri, Fernandinho, why he didn't start baffles me.
Also up there with one of the best defensive
defenders
of all time.
One of the best signings of the last 10 years for anyone. Gabriel Jesus, Sergio Aguero, I think he scored a few goals. Ferran Torres.
Right, so again, the price, I mean, let's not add it all up, but Aguero, 45 million, we all know who Aguero is. Jesus, 30 million. Rodri, what was he, 45, 50 yeah. million? Like, there's about 500 million.
I mean, even
there, the
Cancelo, Mendy.
Spent, it's the fact that, like, you can pay as much for Fred as you can Aguero. It's the fact of the level of play they brought in.
The
like,
number of
no
them.
One talks about how much we spent for Cavani. It's the fact that we got fucking Cavani.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck what we spend.
Yeah.
Get me them players.
Yeah, yeah.
Get me them players. Like, they got some free transfers.
The thing is as well with City on this front, and I know we'll just talk about this briefly and move on because we spent far too much time on it, but Aguero's going, Fernandinho's 35. I mean, and he had an easy run. Mm. This may well be their best chance that they get in a long time.
Do you know what though, Jay? I'm not going to be on camera saying that because I think that Jack Grealish and Harry Kane are probably getting announced in about 3 days.
All right.
And then
and
everyone
if not,
goes,
maybe at a home.
And also, it pains me to say it, but Phil Foden might be the real deal. And if he is.
Okay, but on that, the guy's played about 20 games in 2 years. And I think freshness is real.
Yeah.
Right. I think some players have just been ground down over the last couple of years with lockdowns, playing through pandemics and injuries and stuff like that. You know, Marcus is an obvious one, but he ain't on his own. You know, Harry Maguire has been just played every available minute that there's been. Right, while we're here, I do want to address something that I said on the watch along on Wednesday during the final. I made a joke, which I thought was quite an obvious joke. Turns out not everyone got the joke, not everyone understood what I was trying to get at, and it was a poor joke on reflection. I regret it, and I would like to apologise to anyone I did offend with that joke. Everyone who knows me or has followed me for 5 minutes, I would hope, knows that's not what I'm about. I don't like any sort of form of prejudice at all. So I regret it, and I apologise for it, and you know, certainly won't be doing anything along those lines again.
No, me and you had a chat about this today, because I've not seen you since the watch along, I wasn't here when that happened, and you know, from our conversations, I could see you regretted, and I understand why you did. You know, I know language is important, and I've had these conversations with mates over the years about certain things you say and jokes and things like that, and you go, hang on a minute, that's not okay. And there'll be an element out there who, no matter what you say, won't accept it. But I think it's important we address it. I think it's important as a channel. We have that responsibility of what we put out on here and what we say. You know, those words matter. And I'm glad you've addressed it. And I know from our conversations, you know, you give a shit. You do. Do you know what I mean? That's what you're about. And I'm, like I say, you know, I think we can all learn from this, and I think we should all move forward and just remember the sort of responsibilities we've got as well.
Yeah, I'm glad we've addressed that, and you know, like you said, you've talked about your regret for saying what you said, and it was the first opportunity we had to address the matter, and I think we needed to do that as a channel, and I'm glad we have.
You mentioned Marcus Rashford earlier. We were talking about players getting ground down, players having that freshness, players having that sort of, I don't know, devil may careness that you have when you're a youngster. Mm. Marcus had that, then he became this sort of almost seasoned pro and the player we rely on. For the Europa League final, he looked knackered. Mm. He did. We know he's been waiting for this operation until after the Euros. The squad's not been announced. The provisional squad's not has been announced. He's in it. It's 33 players. Got to go down to 26. The likelihood is he's going to be in that 26. I wish he wasn't. And I mean that. I love Marcus Rashford. And I know if he was watching this, he'd probably disagree because he loves playing for his country and I get all that. But he needs a break. He needs a proper break. He needs to have this operation now and go and sit on a beach for a few weeks, not carry the nation's hopes and then go and have an operation and then all have 3 days and then back in pre-season for Manchester United.
Oh, you mean exactly like he's gonna?
Yeah.
But it's not even like, it's not even a United fan don't care about England thing. It's literally a care about this player whose career is may over the next 18 months go one way or another in terms of how many he might play 400 games in his career or he might play 700 and that could be the difference between recovering this summer and not, because there's a lot of players who they play most seasons, they'll get you 20-30 appearances, but if he wants to be someone that is a real, and I know he's on the way to being that anyway, but a real legend for Man United who plays most of the games, who gets loads of goals, who gets loads of assists, who can carry us to trophies, he can't be carrying injuries for his whole career. And for the last 2 years or so, he has been. At some point, I know there's little nicks and niggles and bits here and there that you have to play through, but you can't have surgery-needing injuries throughout your whole career. And for the last 2 years, he kind of has been, whether it's his ankle or his shoulder or whatever his other problem is with his leg at the moment, his back. At some point, this needs fixing. Otherwise, we're going to see more and more performances like we did in the cup final from him, because physically, you can't keep doing that forever.
I had a thought when he said 700 appearances. Started doing maths.
Go on.
And I was like, that's 10 years of playing 70 games. I was like, that's a lot. That's 20 years of playing 35 games. That's still a lot.
Yeah.
I was like, fucking hell.
I mean, Marcus Rashford could approach record-breaking numbers. Chucky said he sees him playing in midfield one day. And he worked with him as a kid. I'm not saying that's going to happen. That's just what he said. He said, you know, I mean, would you have thought Ryan Giggs was going to end up playing in centre midfielder?
Absolutely not.
No. So stranger things have happened.
Too young to remember. Ryan Giggs, for me, I would say, was like a Zaha-style winger.
Yeah.
Dead jinky. Yeah. Like, constantly on the chop, change, very fast direction change, always on the last man. And for him to become a cultured number eight was... He might as well have played in net, because that was how alien he was going to have been.
Yeah, someone like Wan-Mata, with his touch and his vision and his composure, you think that makes sense. Giggs was like knock it and sprint kind of player. Not more than that, obviously.
He was always that argument. If he loses his pace, he's gone.
Exactly. And he made one of the best transitions that anyone's done. But back to Rashford then. Do you think there's a chance that he doesn't go to the Euros? Whether it's up to him or up to Southgate?
I'll be left with egg on my face. But I don't think there is. I think Southgate picks him. I think Southgate rates him. And I think Southgate needs him or feels he needs him in this tournament to have a chance of winning it.
I think he does.
And he's probably right in that sense. But from a United point of view, and from someone that absolutely adores Marcus Rashford and cares about him, I'd love to see him not go. Because I think for long term, for the reasons you've mentioned, it's probably better that he doesn't.
How many players' careers have you seen? Most players' careers, if they don't fulfil the potential that they've shown, is usually because of injuries. And it's, or they haven't looked after themselves, which sometimes coincides with injuries. Now, knowing Marcus and knowing what he's like and knowing how dedicated he is, looking after himself isn't something you're going to throw at him at all. The guy has his own chef. The guy has a physio which comes round to his house all the time.
He wants to stop mucking about with these phone calls to ex-presidents, though. Eh? Why is he not out on the piss like normal footballers? Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Can't you get caught smoking a cigarette on holiday at some point?
Do you know what I mean? Chatting to Barack Obama.
Doing yoga and things like that. Things that are very good, but You know, I even put him onto stem cells and said, look into this, because this is the cutting edge of technology at the moment. It's almost a miracle how it works, some of it. But, you know, it looks like putting it off and
the surgery. Thing is as well, the sort of the obvious one to compare where you look at a player who just was sort of at his peak by 20 and almost done by 22 is Owen, Michael Owen. Now, you may criticise Michael Owen for a lot of things, but he wasn't like a Jack the Lad. He was football and that was it.
He was
it,
a bit of a boring footballer.
Yeah, he was boring, but he was just only about football. But it was the injuries that did for him. Yeah. And that wasn't anything to do with his lifestyle or anything like that. He was probably the consummate professional. It was just the injuries did for him. Now, I think Marcus has got more to his all-round game than Michael Owen had. Once Michael Owen got them injuries, lost his pace, he was never quite the same player. But with Marcus Rashford, there's always that fear that something like that could happen. Do you know what I mean? I mean, this is going to sound so crazy and people are going to hammer me in the comments for this.
Can't wait for this.
But I will say it anyway.
Put him on solo, thank you.
I will say it anyway. And I'll take the beats when they come. Alan Shearer was better at Blackburn than he ever was at Newcastle.
How dare you?
Because he had one or two injuries and he lost a little bit. Not a lot, because he still banged him in. But if you look at him at Blackburn, he was a better player. Mm. He was. And he had quite a few injuries, Alan Shearer. And he was still fantastic, scored loads of goals. But he just took a little bit out of him.
Now, no, I don't think that's crazy, you know. His record at Blackburn was terrifying. His record at Newcastle was very good.
Yeah, and yet he was at his peak at Newcastle in terms of his age and everything. I think it just took a little bit out of him. Mm. And I think with Marcus, and Alan Shearer was obviously built for an old-fashioned type of striker, so he could handle a few more injuries than a tricky type of attacking player like Marcus is. So I think Marcus loses that. My biggest fear almost is that he's still just about good enough. Mm. And he's still got to watch Marcus Rashford getting pelters and people going, and he gets you sort of those double figures consistently for the rest of his career, but doesn't go to the heights that we know a player of his talent can do.
And I think that's one of the things, and it links back to this, with Wayne Rooney about people talking about his potential. That is like Marcus Rashford, not quite maybe the Wayne Rooney levels, but he is that kind of one step below the best in the world potential, I think, for him. I think he world-class, certainly. And maybe he's not going to reach the sort of Ronaldo, Messi, Mbappe kind of numbers.
I mean, do you know what?
But there's no shame in that, is there?
Because he's not on that level.
No, not yet. But I mean, that's who people are looking at for Ballon d'Ors over the next few years.
He might win a Ballon d'Or.
Yeah.
He's not getting to that
level. No, he's never going to be their level. But what I mean is, in terms of talking about who is the best player in the world, maybe it won't be Rashford. But he's certainly capable of being a 20 plus goals, 15 plus assists. Yeah, easily. But that's the thing that, like you said, with injuries, it doesn't take that much to go wrong, because at the minute it's bits here and there. It's a long, you know, it's a niggling shoulder injury. It's this ankle injury that seems to recur. It's a back injury. But if you add to that, and this is when it really went downhill for Owen, a cruciate knee ligament injury, then that's when it really became irreparable for Owen, when he did his knee, because at that point you've got one that needs to be monitored through your whole career anyway, plus all of the other little ones that you never let heal.
And there's a psychological thing there.
Exactly. So that's my worry.
And he went, was it the World Cup he went to when he was knackered and did it in the World Cup, just collapsed?
Do you know who I reckon Marcus needs? Was it 2006 that?
I think so, yeah.
I think it was, yeah.
Do you know who I reckon Marcus needs to speak to? Is Norman Whiteside.
Why? Well, why?
Yeah. Well, what can injuries do?
Yeah.
Because I reckon if you'd have... When did he get injured? It was like 84, 85. He started to really start racking him up, wasn't it? I reckon if you'd have spoke to people around that time, around him going to the World Cup as the youngest player, the youngest goal scorer in their story, the youngest, his story, how good's Norman Whiteside going to be? People would have told you, Reds of a certain vintage ago, do you remember Roy Keane? Like a taller one of them. Mm. That's what Norman Whiteside was. He was an all-action, box-to-box, goal-scoring midfielder. He'll do anything. He'll fight you. He'll kick you. He'll spray balls over the top. He'll score fucking 20-yard volleys. He does everything. And then he loses... Was it his cartilage he had to have completely removed?
Yeah, basically had no cartilage in his knees or something.
That's
ridiculous.
Not gonna work, is it?
No. And, he was done at 27.
I know.
So, you know what I mean? Like you say, the youngest broke Pelé's record in the World Cup. I love the story. I did a thing with Norman Whiteside once at a Q&A, and he sent me a list of his achievements, and one that said... Youngest player ever to play in a World Cup. Next line said, youngest player ever to be booked in a World Cup.
It's youngest player ever to take his boots off on the turf in a World Cup.
I just thought the fact that he got boots in his first appearance in the World Cup or whatever was summed him up. But, yeah.
And scored.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, It is tragic because, as well, you know, he missed out on so many things and so many trophies, and I think he got his biggest pay packet with Owen Whiteside, his one season in Everton, and it's sad. And I think Marcus is obviously set for life in certain ways, but we want to see him have that long career, and these little decisions here and there could add up to against that.
And the other side of it is maybe Marcus Rashford's body is going to be one that gets injured a lot through his career. Maybe he doesn't quite have the sort of physical prowess and phenomenal, you know, ability that someone like Cristiano Ronaldo has, who has just been, I know he's had injuries here and there, but essentially playing every game for every team for 15 years in a row. Maybe he doesn't quite have that durability.
Can we just talk about how ridiculous he is?
He's incredible.
Just as an athlete.
He's 37 next year. And he's still getting a goal a game for Juventus.
Can we sit here and fantasize about him coming back?
We can do that
for a different video.
Maybe save that for another video, because actually we'll talk about it in a minute. But maybe Rashford will always have some injuries. Maybe that's just what his body's like. But you've got to give yourself time to rest when you can, because otherwise, what chance do you have?
I'm just looking at the stats. He's played 271 games already for Manchester.
Oh, he's not. He's playing with injuries. Yeah. But you know, maybe some players just have to play with injuries more than other players. I don't know. But you just worry that when you play such a high proportion of your games with injuries, what effect does that have on the next 5 years?
Genuinely world class. Did Robbo shave off years at the top because of playing with injuries?
I saw a good debate on the socials the other day going on about Robbo and how good he was, and the fact that what didn't help Robbo as well was some of the players he had to play alongside. He was almost carrying the Manchester United team. And it sounds alien to people, but you talk about Bruno carrying us. Bruno's got Paul Pogba near him. Mm-hmm. He's got Marcus Rashford there. He's got Harry Maguire behind him.
Cavani.
He's got Cavani in front of him. He's got world-class players all there or thereabouts around him. Robbo, for a period, not always, but for a period, had bang average players around him. And so that's why United was 17th when Fergie came in.
Atkinson's United, McGrath, Whiteside, even Strachan, Stapleton, some fucking legendary names in there.
Of course.
But then that sort of first run through of Fergie's.
You've got like Peter Davenport, hell, Graham Hogg. Do you know what I mean? Like
Neil Webbs.
You're looking at it and you're going, And then you've in the middle of all this,
wonder
you've
why we
got
didn't win the league.
Yeah, you've got one of the greatest footballers of all time, literally, in the middle of this
pub team.
Yeah.
It's been real.
Yeah.
So
in more ways.
To round that out then, Marcus Rashford, if you're him or you're someone in, you know, his agent or his brother or whoever, are you saying to him, we don't think you should go to the Euros? If you're him, are you going to the Euros and take this summer off and do that?
I think he's going to be desperate to go. Yeah. He'll know as well. For all the reasons we've said for him not to go, probably the reasons in here he needs to go.
Yeah.
If that makes any sort of sense. Because it's like, this may be the best chance to play.
Who knows where
Wayne Rooney in 2008, you know, the Champions League final had English players in every single position except goalkeeper, and we didn't qualify. So you don't know with tournaments. Wayne Rooney didn't score a World Cup goal until his last appearance in a World Cup finals. You just don't know how it's going to pan out. So if you're a youngster, well, young, you know, 23, I think he is, you're not going to take it for granted and go, I'll go to the next one.
No.
Fuck that.
Because also, he wasn't a guaranteed first team starter in the last World
Cup.
He was just on the edge, and exactly.
Yeah, there's a lot of options there for Gareth Southgate in attack. You know, Sterling, Kane,
Grealish.
Foden plays on the left.
Foden. So Marcus, you know, he's got to fight for his place. Is he going to say, "I'll sit this one out"? He sits out. Foden bags a load of goals, and then
might never get back in.
You're in his shadow for 10 years.
The England thing, has been a little bit political, and it's got a little bit of fan favourites and all the rest of it, and flavour of the monthism. Yeah, I don't know if that's an ism, but
you're liking your Oisin. What was the other one? Cruyffianism.
Cruyffianism.
Guardiolian.
Guardiolian. Oh, like
Guardiolistas.
That. Guardiolistas.
Sorry.
Soz.
Soz, lad.
Soz.
So if you're Rashford, you're going, aren't you? Let's be honest. If you're Rashford, you're going. You're forcing through that injury.
I think that there's a certain bit of it's a moving train, and if you don't get on it, it's gone.
Yeah.
Like you said, Foden comes in, has a good game. Fucking laters. In the nation's mind, that's you out of the picture.
On the flip side to this then, while we're on England, Mason Greenwood. Mm. We'd probably all take him, I think, if it was up to us, because we've seen him, we know what he can do, I'm guessing.
If I was England manager, I'd be trying to take Bruno. I think he's well good.
Mm. He is good.
Yeah, he's decent, him. Yeah. That sounds like a Harry Redknapp move, doesn't it? Remember, he did an article on Wes Morgan. Why is Wes Morgan not playing for England? It's a disgrace. He's got 38 caps for Jamaica, Harry. Captain. And we've already printed that.
article.
That's no excuse.
No yeah. editor, though, either.
Yeah. May I leave it in?
All right. Check this a sec.
Go on then, about Mason Greenwood.
Mason Greenwood, whilst Marcus Rashford is, you know, was one that, while he probably would like him to sit this out, he's going to end up going. I can see Mason missing out.
Fuck that. Listen to this. Who's the scapegoat? This is a better game. Because there has not been an international tournament without a scapegoat.
Who was last one? Who's the World Cups? Sterling.
Good point, well made. Yeah,
Kane?
No,
but there wasn't one because, generally speaking, people were happy with the performance.
There wasn't. It's like 1990. You probably won't remember this a lot because you weren't born.
Because I didn't exist. It's hard to remember something like that. My brain wasn't in existence.
This is what's the matter with you, Johnny come lately. You're not born, so you can't watch the games. You just take the piss. You know, I remember all the times when we didn't win the league and all that, Division 1. Disgusting, yeah. But me and Steve remember it. And there wasn't a sort of...
Remember about 3 seconds.
Well, because we got to the semis, even the likes of Stuart Pearce and Chris Waddle, who missed penalties, weren't hammered. Gareth Southgate in 96 wasn't quite as hammered as you'd expect because we got to the semis. And it's like, that's a success for England. So if you do well, you tend to get away with it. But, you know, if you go back to Euros 2002, Phil Neville gives away a penalty.
World Cup.
2000, Phil Neville gives a penalty.
Euros.
Yeah, in Euros, yeah. 98, some kid called David something, I can't remember.
I mean, World Cup 2002, David Seaman for letting that ball go over his head.
I don't remember him being scapegoated.
Do you not?
No.
And David Beckham got done loads for running over the ball, stopping it on the line, and they counterattacked and scored.
Remember that.
Those two got battered for that.
Do you remember the 2006 World Cup, Ronaldo? Yeah. He was playing against us.
Do you know why?
Because
Rooney was injured going into it, I think. Yeah. And the nation or the press had put so much on Wayne Rooney coming back that they couldn't then call him a scapegoat. Listen, Ronaldo didn't stamp on Carvalho's bollocks.
No. And also, the reason Ronaldo could be scapegoated is because he's a United player.
Yeah.
Because that's a big enough story for English readers that, well, he's a United player, so let's hate
him. Joey winked. What the fuck?
Do you know what? This is a good point, though, right? In 2006, if you'd have given a choice to a lot of United fans, Rooney or Ronaldo, how many of them would you reckon would have said Ronaldo?
Four.
Everyone would have been backing Rooney, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Because
at
that time, it was like, Rooney's going to be the next
Ronaldo hadn't done anything. Mark. Ronaldo was not quite... No, he wasn't Dan James, but he was... He wasn't even Mason Greenwood.
No,
he was like... He was this obviously talented fucking show pony that's a bit of a twat. It was that season, 06-07, where he went fucking 20.
Because there was a lot of articles, weren't there, going, Fergie needs to cut him loose. Fergie needs to move on. Fergie needs to forget about the Ronaldo thing. It's not happening. And then from the next 3 years, Ronaldo won a title every year and the Champions League and got to another Champions League final as well.
Won a Ballon d'Or.
So who is going to be the scapegoat this time then for England? Because...
Bruno.
What, if we play him?
Dive in a quarterfinal against England.
Penalty.
Do the fucking hop, skip, a Rupa penalty.
Yeah.
Win 1-0.
You think Bruno? Very much in the Ronaldo mould as well, isn't it? Portuguese.
And United win the league next year. Oosh, oosh, oosh.
If it's to be an England player, we've seen Sterling be it in the past. I think Sterling's been a bit scapegoat.
I think they're ready.
Past.
If Kane moves to City, I think they're ready to make Kane a scapegoat because he's not at a London club no more.
I could see
He's gone for the money. Money-grabbing bastard. Yeah. Look at him. He's pulled out some boots that I've got his free golden boots on. That's sad, by the way. He could be shit again and cost England.
They're not going to do Jordan Henderson because they like him. It could be like an Eric Dier situation when he starts playing more games than he should because Maguire don't get back in time and Dyer's just shit and he costs them the game.
Well, Dyer's not gone, has he?
Is he not?
No, I don't think he's in the provisional squad.
Centre-half's pretty weak. Yeah. So it could be a centre-half.
It could be Stones or something like that.
Yeah, it could be Stones.
It could be, you know. And this would make sense to me.
Oh, here we go.
Because he's coming to United, Jaden Sancho.
Woo! Southgate brings him on instead of Sterling or instead of Foden
or someone like that the papers like now. Sancho fucks it up, misses a chance. He's the scapegoat as he moves to United.
Right,
the whole
comments,
nation hates him.
Who's your scapegoat? Give me your story. I want your full story. I don't just want a name.
Yeah.
Put some fucking effort in for once. I want a story. Why is this your scapegoat?
Yeah. Who is getting blamed when England don't win the Euros?
I'm going Bruno.
You're going Bruno. I'm going Sancho. Who are you going? Kane's a good outside shout, though, because he seems so untouchable at the minute.
But and he's also the captain.
Yeah,
I think there's a lot of like fallen angel potential with Kane.
I think Jesse might have a shout. I just think that...
He ain't going.
He is. No. Southgate loves Jesse Lingard. No. Southgate's in his job because of Jesse Lingard.
Yeah, but I don't think.
I think Jesse goes there, misses a sitter, or does it scores a goal, does a dance, and then next, misses a sitter. Yeah, and then everyone's like, look at him, and then the dance that he did, he used against him.
Yeah,
yeah.
Do you know that Ade Boothroyd stuff where like the person who got him all of his jobs is just like one of his best mates? You've seen all that, haven't you?
No, I haven't.
Do you know Ade Boothroyd, who's under 23s, under 21s England manager?
Yeah, he's done an absolutely
just shit,
appalling
just been
job.
A bad manager for 15 years.
Ade Boothroyd or Gareth Southgate?
Boothroyd.
Oh, I was just checking.
Yeah, same kind of resume. But there's a bloke who's pretty much hired him at all of his last four or five jobs, who basically just owes him one, who keeps getting him these big jobs. And that's what Lingard's done for Southgate.
Yeah.
He's just got him all his jobs because he kept him...
He kept him in the under... I can't remember the game, but there was a game in the under-21. Southgate was under pressure and Jesse Lingard scored, and that sort of kept him in that job. Did well for him at the World Cup. Played him out of position, don't forget.
One of the best players for England in the World Cup.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah.
Never came back from it, like.
No.
Until about 3 months ago.
I know. But I think there's a soft spot.
Yeah.
But Jesse's got that ability that, like, it's easy for people to get on his case. Yeah. Not us, we love him, but he's like, he's that, you know, young lad who's very sort of win with pop culture and all that sort of stuff. And he, you know what I mean?
And so the people who are in the mid 40s, 50s, 60s,
he's like a symbol of
the Snapchat,
yeah,
what you're doing on social media guy,
yeah,
isn't he?
That's exactly. It is. So it's like an easy stick
he's
to beat.
Physical embodiment of anti social media, more like. Do you know that kind of shite that people say on Nationwide adverts for no reason? He's that to them.
Let's ask me one final question then to wrap this up.
Go on then.
You've said who's going to get blamed. What are England going to do in the Euros?
Fuck all.
What's that mean?
First good
they're
team.
No, one's not playing.
All right, okay, cool. The first good team they play, they lose to.
Right, okay. I don't like these just logical answers that are probably true.
Right, do you know what it is? Have you seen Portugal's team? It's got fucking balance. It's mint. Have you seen France's team? France's second team win the Euros.
France are the Man City of international teams at the minute, aren't they?
Yeah.
They've got 20, like, anywhere from incredible to world-class players.
Yeah. Portugal's got a bit of grittiness about them, I think.
Yeah.
Do you know what? You're guaranteed as well if France doing it. You'll hear so many people saying about Pogba, why don't you do that for United?
Why don't you do that for United?
Never does that for United. Never wins us the Euros or the World Cup.
Why does he never win us the Euros? Yeah. It's a good point, though, that you make about when we face a good team. When's the last time, not in a group stage match, England beat one of the top teams in top international team in a tournament?
1966.
West Germany. When's the last time we did that?
I would say...
Be honest, not in the group stages. Because we beat France in the group stages.
Cameroon, in Argentina. But they were, mate. They were sick.
Oh, they were a cult hero team. They weren't fucking great.
Have we ever done it? This is an upsetting realisation that you've just put on me, Steve. Have England ever beaten... We're going to have to look this up now and people will know in the comments. Have England ever beaten, since 1966, one of the best... the big names...
We beat Spain in 96 on penalties, but they had a perfectly legitimate goal ruled out.
They were also in the transition of a well shit era of Spanish football.
But I thought they had a decent team in that competition.
Yeah, who's up front?
But we hadn't, have we?
Was it?
Exactly. Wasn't fucking Romario and Ronaldo, was it?
Or
the Spanish equivalents.
When we beat Argentina, that was in the group stages, wasn't it? When Owen scored.
Yeah, yeah.
When we beat Holland.
The 4-1 against Holland was the...
That was the Beckham game.
Yeah. Was the group
stage? No, the second one where Beckham smashed it down the middle.
Yeah.
In the penalty.
The penalty.
Group stage.
Yeah. That's what I mean. There wasn't the knockout.
The last one is Holland in 1990.
No,
it was
no.
It a group stage game.
Was it?
I think so, yeah.
Well, no.
Holland was in the group.
No, in 1990, we played, was it Belgium, Cameroon, and Germany?
In a group?
In the knockouts. You're saying in the knockouts?
Yeah.
We've never done it.
What? Pull it up. Let's have a look.
That's it. That's what we did in the knockouts.
No, but I actually don't know the last time England played.
Beat like a France, a Brazil. Yeah.
That's
Germany.
Why I said Spain, because it's the only one I can remember.
Yeah, but Euro 96 Spain, like I said, who was up front for him? Fernando Morientes. I don't fucking think so.
Maybe.
He was good for Monaco. I mean, yeah, that's a sad realisation that if we face one of the big boys, we will lose to them.
Yeah.
That's really upsetting. And I don't think we're building a team. I know this is very England heavy today, but I don't think we're building a team that suits playing against the big teams. I think we try and control games and we're not good enough to do that, personally.
Basically, it was shit.
Ooh, the Spain team.
Yeah. You'll know three of the players.
Yeah, it's not the best, I'm not going to lie.
It's not a...
Good lad.
It's not a legendary side.
Here every day.
Well, that's literally the only big team we've got.
Google England World Cup record, because it'll tell you who they sort of like...
Well, we know, we can remember
England, like... International tournament record. Okay, so I've got the World Cup ones. The World Cup, obviously, we beat Sweden.
Not a Goliath.
No, and we won in pens or extra time against Colombia. Mm-hmm. In the Brazil World Cup, we won no games.
Interesting tactic.
In the 2010 World Cup,
interesting tactic.
We won no knockout games.
You don't like the methods because you don't understand yeah. the methods.
In right. the 2006 World Cup, we beat Ecuador.
Ecuador?
Sorry.
In the 2002 World Cup, we beat Denmark.
This is really fucking upsetting, Steve. In 1998,
we just lost in the round of 16 to Argentina. In 1990, we played Belgium, who weren't good at the time, not like they are now, that's sensational.
I'm still saying Cameroon me. That's me.
If you go and find what the coefficient of Cameroon was at the time.
They were mint. They beat Argentina.
I was joking when I said 1966, but it was.
This is so fucking upset.
It was actually, Portugal was a very good team in 1966, and I don't know about Argentina, but we beat Argentina in a quarterfinal, we beat Portugal in a semi, and we beat West Germany in the final. That was the last time England played and won a good team, certainly in the World Cup. The Euros may be different. Right, so we got the Euros now. Obviously, that's this year's Euros fixtures. The last Euros, let's have a look. So 2016, obviously we came second to Wales.
We lost to Iceland. We don't need to worry about that.
And we lost to Iceland. So no is the answer on that front. In the
2012 Euros.
2012.
That was a disaster.
We didn't qualify for 2004. And then we got Euro 2000 where we lost to Romania.
96, we know what happened there.
So I'm going to go back here. Like,
I feel sick. What's happened here is the entire English national team's record has been pulled out from underneath me.
So Euro 2012, we played Italy in the quarterfinals and lost.
Right.
I joked when I said 1966. We might be talking about 90s. So Portugal in 2004
lost. Steve, what's happening?
I think we've just realised how shit.
What about 1970?
We didn't get out of the group in 2000. 96. So here's the one that's up for debate, potentially. We beat Spain.
Yeah,
on
but you're
penalties,
not having, you're not having that.
No, and it was a shit Spain team.
It's not even that for me. It's the fact that we sort of got away with it because I'm pretty sure Spain had a perfectly good goal disallowed.
92, we came rock bottom of the group without winning a game.
That 0-0 against France, though, was epic. To be honest, I'm still spoken about to this day.
In Euro 88, great one.
Oh, we lost them all, didn't we?
3 out of 3.
Yes.
We had Russia, the Netherlands, and
Republic of Ireland. Yes, I vaguely remember
it. 0 for 3, Joe. Joe's reliving them all here.
All I remember from that is Robbo scoring.
1980, we didn't get out of the group.
Right, stop now.
Wait. 68. So if we didn't beat anyone in 68, 66 was the last time that we won a knockout game.
Against a good team.
Right, and in 68, we got Yugoslavia and lost.
Right, that's
can
it.
As an aside, in 68, that Italy went through against the Soviet Union on a coin toss. So that's how seriously we're taking
we
that tournament.
We couldn't even win a coin toss. Hey,
do you know what I mean?
So the last time England won a legitimately competitive big match in knockout football was the year we fucking won it in England in 66.
That is astonishing. I mean, and genuinely upsetting. And like anyone who's watched England, I know a lot of our fans aren't English, so forgive us for all this conversation.
Just keep laughing.
But anyone who's been watching England over the last 25 years-ish, bit less, 30 years, 35 years, will know...
45.
Will know we've not been very good. I've never seen anyone put it together like that. I've never noticed that and actually gone back... You can maybe say Spain, but there wasn't a great Spain team, and we were looking.
We should
to
have
beat
lost,
them,
and we won on penalties.
Yeah. And they weren't a very good. You know, it's not the Spain team of today. England haven't beaten a top team in knockout tournament in 55 years.
Joe, put it this way: my dad was 6.
That's absolutely
my
awful.
My dad was 6 as well.
That is awful. Every time we faced a big boy, a big team in any competition, we've lost to them. What the fuck?
Bigger boys.
We're the home of football. Bring it home. Football's coming home.
We're shit.
Even what the fuck?
Well, tournaments that we lord over, that we go like, you know, Euro 96 for a minute. It's like we drew with Switzerland. We got pretty lucky again. I know Gazza scored that wonder goal, but against Scotland, they miss a pen and we go down the other end and score.
We twatted Holland.
We twatted Holland, but other than
Holland
that,
have got this weird thing. It's a very small nation that loves its football and occasionally implodes like you've never seen a team implode ever.
That performance against Holland is probably the best England performance I've ever seen.
But for clarity, for anyone who doesn't know, it was a group stage match. Mm. So that's the end of that conversation. England aren't winning the Euros. For anyone who thought we might, as soon as we face a good team, France, Belgium, Spain, Italy,
Croatia.
If Italy even qualified.
Croatia,
you know, any of them lot, or in that case, Yugoslavia. we'll lose.
So nations that no longer exist have beaten us.
Thanks for watching. Any confidence you may have had going into the Euros, fuck that right off. I think that's the motto of today's podcast, isn't it? Do you want to take us out, Jay, while I just contemplate everything I've ever thought about the England national team?
If you're expecting loads of England content over the summer, don't come to us. We will be doing some Twitch watch-alongs for other games, though. We'll be having a bit of a laugh over in there, so make sure you go and check that out. We've got some stuff coming up as well. We've got the season reviews and all that sort of jazz. McCullough's going to be down here later on as well this week, so we'll be having Housen and McCullough. And me and Joe will be doing transfers live. I think Housen's doing a transfers live, are you?
I don't know.
He is.
Coming up soon anyway.
He is coming up soon. Mac is going to be doing one. The gang's all going to be doing that because it's transfers in it now. So we'll be all over that stuff. Don't forget as well, if you're not doing, to check everyone out on socials. You know where we all are. And hit like, share and subscribe. This has been the Paddock Podcast. Thanks for watching.
Social Podcast Network.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.